But I do not believe that in the name of that sacred word, a few powerful interests should be permitted to make industrial cannon fodder of the lives of half of the population of the United States. Such third-way rhetoric had a familiar echo in much Nazi propaganda as well. In a typical editorial written on May 27, 1929, Goebbels explained that the party was not against capital, but against its misuse. For us, too, property is holy, but that does not mean that we sing in the chorus of those who've turned the concept of property into a distorted monstrosity. A people of free and responsible owners, that is the goal of German socialism. The Nazi Gleichschaltung. Fascism is the cult of unity within all spheres and between all spheres. Fascists are desperate to erode the artificial, legal, or cultural boundaries between family and state, public and private, business and the public good. Unlike communist Jacobinism, or Jacobin communism if you prefer, which expropriated property and uprooted institutions in order to remake society from the ground up, fascism pragmatically sought to preserve what was good and authentic about society while bending it to the common good. Interests or institutions that stood in the way of progress could be nationalized, to be sure, but if they worked with the regime, if they did their part, they could keep their little factories, banks, clubs, and department stores. It's revealing that corporatism has many of its roots in Catholic doctrine. The 1891 papal encyclical Rerum Novarum proposed corporatism or syndicalism in response to the dislocations of the Industrial Revolution. In 1931, an updated encyclical, Quadragesimo Anno, reaffirmed the principles of Rerum Novarum. The two documents form the backbone of progressive Catholic social thought. The Church's interest in corporatism stemmed from its belief that this was the best way to revive medieval social arrangements that gave man a greater sense of meaning in his life. In short, corporatism was in large measure a spiritual project. Both the cold, impersonal forces of Marx's history and the unloving dogma of Adam Smith's invisible hand would be rejected in favor of a third way that let the forgotten man feel like he had a place in the grand scheme of things. The Nazis had a word for this process, Gleichschaltung, a political word borrowed, like so many others, from the realm of engineering. It meant coordination. The idea was simple. All institutions needed to work together as if they were part of the same machine. Those that did so willingly were given wide latitude by the state. Islands of separateness, be they businesses, churches, or people, were worn down over time. There could be no rocks in the river of progress.